World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff, Pastor Mkandawira. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Malote. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Have you been good?
I've been well, thank you. How have you been?
Lovely, man. Fantastic. I do understand that my colleague yesterday hosted you well. Thank you so much for that.
You did a fantastic job.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, we're concluding the conversation we've been having all week long, applying scripture to everyday decisions. Now, the scripture is filled with stories of those who obeyed, even when it hurt. Consider Mary, when the angel Gabriel visited her to tell that God was about to make her, she was a virgin, mother of a savior of the world. Mary's response was, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's taken from Luke 1:38. Now, obedience to God's guidance can often lead us to unpleasant circumstances. And we want to actually end on this note as we conclude our discussion. Now, Pastor, what happens when obedience to God's principles lead to trouble? Now, for instance, the three Hebrew boys, Daniel, the lion's den, talk about Joseph and the Potiphar's wife. Many examples.
So, and I had a thought in my mind. What happens when obedience leads us to trouble? Well, what happened to Joseph, Daniel, and the three Hebrew boys is exactly what happens to all of us. The beauty about it is God has already warned us that because of obedience to his word, we will be led into trouble.
Yep.
But he says this to us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. This is Christ speaking in the Beatitudes. He says, "Blessed are you when you are, when they revile you and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Yep.
Abel died as a result of persecution because of obedience to the word of God. God has warned some of us will be put into prison, others will be killed, but will be persecuted in different kinds of ways. However, when all this happens, we are to count but joy that we are persecuted for the sake of the name of God. Peter says this in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 12-15. I may not read the whole thing. But verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Verse 14, verse 14 says, "If you are reproached in the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." And on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And so the Bible tells us, indeed, we shall suffer persecution. We will be led into trouble because of our obedience to the word of God. But when that happens, we must count it all joy. Psalm 26, verse 5 says, "Those who sow in tears will reap in joy." That was the case for the example of the three Hebrew boys, Daniel, Joseph. They sowed in tears and they reaped enjoy. I hope I have
you have you have, Pastor. I'm just wondering though, because you know, you're talking about joy and in the same sentence, it's a joy and also sorrow at trouble at the same time. Is it really practical though? Is it some or it's something that's written there as a good to know? Because I mean, really, if I'm going through a mighty trying time, I'm not going to be having joy.
Yeah,
I'll be sorrowful.
Yeah. I can imagine how Joseph must have been feeling. I mean, first of all, he was slaving away in Potiphar's house. And then he's accused of something he has not done, so he has to go to prison. I can imagine he's not going to prison rejoicing.
Exactly.
But scripture says to us, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that when Paul was hit with this thorn in his flesh, he asked God to remove it. He was in trouble. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And so, in as much as Joseph had been, you know, in a bad situation, the grace of God was sufficient. And there's a way that God's presence works out when we trust him, even in times of trouble. I mean, the situation is terrible, but because you trust God, you have that endurance that you know tomorrow will be better. The situation will turn for the good. And so you have that endurance because you trust God. And that's why the Bible says, my grace is sufficient for you. It will make us endure even in times of trouble, and we will reap in joy. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, the Bible tells us of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And what I love about the fruit of the Spirit is that after having told us about the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says that against these there is no law. That means that when we are persecuted because of our obedience to the word of God, we are persecuted falsely, wrongly, for wrong reason. Because of this, it shall end well with us. Even when we end in death, it shall be well with us, because there is no law against which we have committed for us to persecute. That's what Galatians chapter 5, verse 23 says. Indeed, we shall be persecuted.
Yeah.
But amid persecution, the obedience of God itself gives us endurance, because it helps us trust God. But even amid persecution, all shall be well, because God sees what is happening here.
Yeah. Well, very difficult stuff, I must tell you, though. It's not easy at all. In fact, it's easier to say it than to do it, eh?
True.
How can we practically invite God's presence to guide us daily in every decision? How do we do that?
By making prayer a daily habit. Prayer, studying of the word of God, and seeking counsel from others. These three, when we combine these practices on a daily basis, combined with the intentionality of acknowledging God throughout the day, these practices can help create a mindset of seeking God's wisdom in all areas of our lives. And there is no any other way to do it. We have to speak with God daily. We have to hear him through the reading of his word daily, for him to influence our daily decisions. So when we do this, especially not neglecting the idea of seeking counsel from those who are more knowledgeable, who are more spiritual than us, this would help us create a mindset of acknowledging God throughout the day.
And I think it's practical, I mean, what you are saying. Definitely practical. Now, someone might be asking, though, Where do I start? How can we start studying scripture deeply so as to perceive God's living in our lives? Do we need to study theology like yourself? Do we need the spirit of prophecy understanding like you do?
So, I like to think that there is a reason the Bible is written the way it was written. Like, there's a reason it begins in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. So, really, but when asked, where do we start from? I like to just say, just start.
Ah, okay.
However, the Bible is written in different genres. Mm-hmm. There are portions they have different literature. So you could simply just pick out one type of literature and just read, like, for example, wisdom literature. Mm-hmm. You could read the Psalms. Just read the Psalms, and by the end of it, you have an appetite to read more.
Mm.
Or you could read the epistles, the letters.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lady I am guiding. She's unbaptized. She asked for me to guide her through the study of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And for the initial part, I was studying with, we began with the epistles of John, 1st John, 2nd, 3rd John. When we were done with it, she actually was the one who actually requested that we go to the book of John, the gospel.
Mm.
And then I let him take it up from there onwards. And she is still studying scripture up to now. And so you could start from anywhere. The point is just start. Now, the word of God is a letter that God has written to us, revealing himself, revealing his methods of salvation, revealing his methods of communication with us. And in the Bible, God reveals himself. It is a story that connects from Genesis to Revelation. When you receive a letter from a parent, for example, you begin reading from the beginning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, even when you could pick out certain genres of the Bible, the entire story ultimately needs to be understood. So you ultimately need to go back to the beginning and then progress through scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand scripture is not easy to read.
Yeah.
The Bible is not easy to read because, I mean, the devil wouldn't want you to read the Bible and understand it. And so when you develop an appetite, we start from anywhere, we start from what interests you, and you develop an appetite to read the Bible, then you can go back and begin following it from the beginning until it ends. However, just start. Start from where what interests you, and then when the interest is there, then read the entire story. You do not need to study theology. Scripture was not written for theologians, nor do we need the spirit of prophecy. In fact, about the spirit of prophecy, the author says that her light is lesser, pointing to the greater, which is the Bible. So you need the greater light first, and then the lesser light can come in. Yes, we do need the spirit of prophecy, but we can understand scripture even without the spirit of prophecy, even without being theologians. Because the Bible was written from a common man and not a theologian. So just start.
Yeah, very important. Just start. I like that. Pastor, I'm going to let you go. But before I do that, what are your final thoughts? What is it that you'd like to leave with the listeners? I mean, we've been getting into the subject since Monday, dissecting it, looking at it from different angles. And how would you then conclude, you know, applying scripture to everyday decisions? What is it that you'd like to leave with us?
I would like to read one verse. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. In fact, let me just read that verse 30. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. The study says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke Jesus is talking about are his teachings. So Christ is inviting us to come to him and learn from him. Learn his teaching, learn his doctrine, learn the scriptures. It is in the learning of the scriptures that we find rest for our souls. And so, like we said earlier, let's just get started. Just start. Because Christ is inviting us to himself.
Beautiful stuff, Pastor. I must thank you so much for coming through. What a pleasure to have had you this whole week. And of course, getting in and discussing and learning quite a lot, I must say, from your well of knowledge. I must pray that God indeed adds a blessing to where you have taken from your time, your intellect, from your family, etc. To come here, speak to us, speak to the listeners. Indeed, may God bless you immensely.
Amen, amen. I appreciate the blessings. May God bless you too, and may he bless all our listeners.
Lovely. Thank you. Have a happy Sabbath ahead.
Amen. Thank you. Happy weekend to you too.
Lovely. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.